Matthew chapter 27. While you're turning there, we would ask for your prayers tomorrow. We've got to be in Orangeburg, South Carolina by 10 o'clock in the morning. It's about a 180-mile drive. And if you would pray for our safety, but please pray for the service. Don't know anything about the preacher who will be bringing the message, but pray that the gospel will be preached. There will be family members there who certainly have a form of godliness, but they do not have, it doesn't seem, that they have the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the power of God unto salvation. So we would appreciate your prayers tomorrow. Matthew 27, and we want to begin reading at verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Let's stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you to bless our study of your word tonight. We pray that you would, by your Spirit, that you would show us the things that we need to see here tonight. Not just the mothers that are here, the fathers and the young people. We pray that you would suit a message to each heart. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, as this Mother's Day comes to a close, we want to think again about the mothers of Easter. This morning we talked about Mary, the mother of Jesus, one of the mothers of Easter. This evening we want to talk about a mother that we see in verse 56. She is referred to as the mother of Zebedee's children. She is a mother who had a great impact on the lives of her children. Notice again verse 55. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Now Mark, in his account, it's in chapter 15 and verse 40, if you want to keep your place here and look over there, so that we can compare the two. If you want to just stay where you are, that's fine too. But Mark, in his account, he gives us the name of the mother of Zebedee's children. Matthew tells us here in verse 55, and many women were there, beholding afar off. And then he says in verse 56, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Well, in chapter 15 and verse 40 of Mark's gospel, we read, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and of Joses, and Salome. Salome. So, Mark gives us the name of the mother of Zebedee's children. Her name is Salome. And so that's who we want to talk about tonight. So, I'd like for you to turn back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And we want to read beginning at verse 18. We're talking about Zebedee's children. the mother of Zebedee's children. Well, we want to know who his children are. And so we'll find that out here in Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. So we learn here who the sons of Zebedee were. They were James and John, mentioned together all through the gospel accounts. And so it is their mother that we read about in Matthew chapter 27 and Mark chapter 15. And here at the first mention of James and John and her husband Zebedee, I believe we learn something about their mother. Here are her two sons, James and John. They're leaving the family business. We notice here that the call of Peter and Andrew and the call of James and John, it's mentioned together, as though they were working together. And it's like that because they were. They were. The Lord didn't go very far after he called Peter and Andrew till he came upon James and John. They were. We learn in Luke chapter 5 that James and John were partners with Simon. They were in this, they were in business together. And so you have this business relationship. You have this family business, James and John and their father Zebedee in partnership with Simon and Andrew. And it's a profitable business, a fairly large business. Because Mark tells us in his account of these events that James and John left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. This is a thriving and a profitable business. It was big enough to where Zebedee and James and John and Peter and Andrew couldn't handle it. They needed more help, and so they had hired servants. And if you hire servants, you've got to have income in order to pay them. So this is a thriving business. It's a profitable business. And here are four of the leaders of this business leaving. Leaving. And what strikes me, there's nothing here in the record that indicates that the mother of Zebedee's children said a word to her sons to discourage them from going with the Lord. So many mothers would have pulled their sons aside and said something like, What are y'all doing? What are you doing? You don't have to go along with Peter and Andrew. Just because they are following this man, you don't have to follow him. What's your father going to do? What's your father going to do? It's always been his plan. It's always been his idea that one day you would take over for him. What's going to happen to this business? This business that's grown and prospered. It's taken years to build. What's going to happen? Our hired servants, they depend on it for their livelihood. Salome did not use family and all of its connections as a reason for her sons not to obey the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. This mother, I believe, followed the command of Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to Him shalt thou cleave. The Lord Jesus said that verse this way in Matthew 10 and verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The mother of Zebedee's children served the Lord, I believe. She was cleaving to the Lord. And she wanted her sons, James and John, to do the same thing. Even if it meant leaving the family business permanently. Permanently. And that is what happened. Because in Luke chapter 5, we read about the miraculous catching of fish. The Lord had used Simon's boat, his ship, to push out a little from the land and teach the people. And after he got through teaching, he told Peter to cast out and go out here and take a draw out some fish. And Peter told the Lord, well, we've been fishing all night, we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll cast our nets in. And you know what happened? They caught so many fish that the nets in Peter's ship began to break. And so Luke tells us that they beckoned to their partners. That's James, or rather, James and John. Beckoned to their partners to come alongside and help them. And they did. And the catch was so great that they filled both of the ships with fish to the point that they started to sink. And Peter and Andrew and James and John were astonished. And Luke chapter 5 and verse 11 tells us that when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all. They forsook all and followed Him. And that was fine with Salome, the mother of Zebedee's children. Because I believe what was important to her was that her son served the Lord. This is why this mother of Easter is important to think about. Because so many times, the greatest hindrance to our children doing the Lord's will is us. Us. Some of the most discouraging words to them are spoken by us. And a lot of times, the discouraging words relate back to family. And the need to put family and family considerations first. That wasn't Salome. Mothers, and I address you because it's Mother's Day. Father's Day is coming. But I address you tonight. Are you willing to put the Lord's plans for your children above your plans for your children? The mother of Zebedee's children was. And it was because she feared the Lord her God. And it was Him that she served. And it was Him to whom she clave. And she wanted that for her sons. She wanted that for her sons. The next thing that we see about Salome is in Matthew chapter 20, if you'll turn over there. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and let's read it, verse 20. Then came to him, that's the Lord Jesus, the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, "What wilt thou?" He said unto her, "What wilt thou?" I've highlighted the Lord's question to Salome in verse 21 in my Bible. What wilt thou? I've read this passage many times. But those three words, that three-word question, jumped off the page this time. And I've highlighted it because the Lord doesn't ask that question of His people very often here in the Bible. And the reason He doesn't is because He knows our hearts and the selfishness of our hearts. And so He cannot trust most of us with that question. He can't trust me with that question. What wilt thou? What would you like for me to do? Is there any limit on that question? Are there any restrictions on that question? Not a one. Turn back for just a minute. Keep your place here and turn back for just a minute to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. I mentioned to you a minute ago that there aren't many times in the Bible when the Lord asks this question. But I want us to see one of them, because in it is the reason He doesn't ask it more. 1 Kings chapter 3. In this chapter, Solomon has come to the throne of Israel. And in verse 5, in Gibeon, 1 Kings 3 and verse 5, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." In other words, the Lord is asking Solomon, "What wilt thou? What wilt thou?" And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, notice verse 11. Because in verse 11, the Lord tells us why there are very few people that He can trust with this question. God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life." That's the first thing we probably would ask for, isn't it? If the Lord were to say, "What wilt thou?" Probably the first thing that we would ask for, long life for thyself. And then we see the next thing that we would ask for. "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself." I mean, if we're going to have a long life, we've asked for that in response to the Lord's question, "What wilt thou?" "Well, Lord, I want a long life." If He's going to give us a long life, then we certainly need riches. We're going to need riches to go along with that long life. Riches to last all the days of our life so that we can enjoy life to the full. And then the third thing, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies. The third thing that we would ask for would be the life of thine enemies. Now, I think to us, since we are not a king and since we are not surrounded by other nations that may be hostile to us, I think to us that third thing would be a life without problems or difficulties. And by the way, who is it that brings most of the difficulties as we perceive it into our lives? It's the people around us, isn't it? It's like Mr. Creech preached in a message years ago. People are a pain in the neck. And so we perceive them that way. And we perceive that so many of the difficulties that we have in our life is because of this person and that person. And so, in our minds at least, they're somewhat of our enemies. They don't tell us what we want to hear. We don't like what they say. They're always rubbing us the wrong way. And so we would ask for a life to be free from those kind of problems. But notice all of these things are self-oriented. Long life for thyself. Riches for thyself. The life of thine enemies. The Lord knows us, doesn't He? He knoweth our frame. That word frame is the same word, it's the word imagination. He knows the imaginations of our hearts. He knows the pride and the self-orientation of our lives. That's why He asked this question of so few people here in the Bible. So few people. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 20. Because it is a testimony, I believe, and this is what struck me. It is a testimony to this mother of Easter, Salome, that the Lord asked her this question in verse 21. What wilt thou? What do you want, Salome? What do you want? Look at her answer to the Lord's question. She saith unto Him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. There are two things to notice in her answer. First, she doesn't ask for long life for herself. She doesn't ask for riches for herself. She doesn't ask for a life of ease for herself. She doesn't ask for the life of her enemies. And the second thing to notice is that neither does she ask any of these things for her sons, James and John. She doesn't ask for long life for them. She doesn't ask for riches for them. But notice what she does ask for them. Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Notice where Salome's focus is for her children. It's not in this life. Her focus is not time. Her focus for her children is eternity. Salome was doing exactly what Paul would write about. She has this attitude of heart that Paul would write about in 2 Corinthians 4:18, where he said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. In other words, they're temporary. They're for a season. And then they're going to be gone. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Salome's desires for her children were eternal things. Eternal things. The word then in verse 20 it's in an interesting place to me. And I may be making more out of it than it is. But I'll give you the thought. This word then follows the Lord's words in verse 18 and 19. Well, let's read it, verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Now understand what verse 17 says. The Lord's going up to Jerusalem. He takes the 12 disciples apart and he says this to them. But it is immediately after the Lord's words, telling of his death and resurrection, that Salome comes with James and John. And what is she talking to the Lord about? His kingdom. His kingdom. A dead man, a man who is going to die, is not going to have a kingdom. It just doesn't work that way. But the risen Christ has a kingdom. Somehow I just can't get away from the position of this word then. Because it suggests, and I might be wrong, it won't be the first time, but it suggests that Salome is looking beyond the cross. Salome is looking beyond the grave. She believes what the Lord said, that on the third day he shall rise again. Isn't it interesting, the people who doubted the resurrection? It was the men. It was the men that doubted the resurrection. And so, what she wants for her sons are the things of eternity. Thy kingdom. That's looking way out into the future, isn't it? Mothers, what do you want for your children tonight? What do you want for your children tonight? Do you want temporal things for them? Things that are going to appear for a little season and then be gone? Or eternal things? One of the burdens of my heart for tomorrow is we're going to be coming in contact with parts of our family that have their minds set on temporal things. The things of this life, the things of this world, money and houses and lands and riches and the display of those things. It's a grief of mind. And my fear is that they're going to come to the graveyard tomorrow. And they're going to be in a place that is one of the most vivid testimonies of the truth of the Word of God that you'll ever be in. A graveyard. It is appointed unto men once to die. And there's the proof. We're standing in the proof of that. And yet, you know why people, it doesn't impress people? It's not them. It's not them. It's somebody else. And it's always going to be somebody else. That's what the devil says. You shall not surely die. What Salome wants for her sons are the things of eternity. What do you want for your children tonight? Long life, riches, the things of this world. Are you like Salome? And the things you desire for your children are eternal things. Now notice the Lord's answer in verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, "You know not what ye ask. Are ye able?" Now, and that question is to all of them. That remark there, "You know not what ye ask," is to Salome, it's to Peter, rather it's to James, and it's to John. But then the question is directed to James and John. "Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." That's where the song came from, isn't it? "Are ye able?" saith the Master. "Lord, we are able. Our spirits are thine." They say unto him, "We are able." And he doesn't disagree. And he saith unto them, "Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with." Think about it. Because the Lord has just talked about the cup that he's going to drink and the baptism with which he's going to be baptized. "The Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death." That's the cup. "And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him." He's going to be put to death. This is the cup that he is going to drink. It's the baptism that he's going to be baptized with. And he's telling James and John. He tells Salome, "Your sons will indeed drink of this cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with." And I believe that she understood every word that the Lord said there. I believe she understood it. And by the way, they did drink of his cup. They were baptized with the baptism that he would be baptized with. Look over at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with sword." Are ye able to be baptized with the baptism? Are ye able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Yes, we are. And they did. Herod killed James, the brother of John. Now look over at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And look at verse 9. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation." What did John know about tribulation? He knows his brother was taken by Herod and killed with the sword, was executed. What did John know about tribulation? Well, he knew that. And he tells us what else he knows about it. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." John's stand for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ brought tribulation to his life. The tribulation of being banished to what Dr. Henry Morris describes as a small, barren, rocky island. The island of Patmos. That faced Ephesus, where John had been. And this small, barren, rocky island is the place where John would die. It was, in effect, a prison. And while Salome did not know the details of how her son's drinking of the Lord's cup and being baptized with his baptism would manifest, how those things would be manifest in James and John's life, she knew the implication, I believe, of the Lord's words. But that did not shift her focus for her sons. Her desire was fixed on the things of eternity for her sons. That's why she's one of the mothers of Easter. That is an example for believing mothers tonight. This Mother's Day, May the 8th, 2021, 2,000 years later. Interesting. She being dead, yet speaketh. Her testimony. Faithful mother. May the Lord help us to think about these things. Consider them on this Mother's Day. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the people that you put here. We thank you for this mother, Salome. We thank you for the spiritual desire, for the relationship with you that she had. A relationship that was such that you could trust her with that question, "What wilt thou? What wilt thou?" Father, we pray that our desire would be to have that kind of relationship with you, not just mothers, but fathers and young people. Help the young people here tonight to think about what are their desires, what are their plans, what is their focus? Is it temporal things or is it eternal things? We pray that we might consider these things on this day and every day, that we might live a life that will be a blessing to you and will count for eternity. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.